This is a real Bible study this morning. We're going to be going to a lot of places today, so let's get started. You ready? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Put a marker in Hebrews 4. Put a marker in John 8. How many markers you got? I got 10, Brother Gary. Because I got 10 fingers. You know. Well, we've been teaching on spirit, soul, and body. There's a reason for this. It's not just a matter of teaching for teaching's sake. In a minute, we're going to look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, if you don't know the truth, you're probably not going to be free. And there's so much truth mixed with not truth. That's a nice way, I think. That if you're not careful, even when you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, it's so easy to get off into just walking in error, just walking in, you know, it's not the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you're not going to walk free. Well, I want to walk free. I'm not walking totally free. Gary, what's wrong with you? That's none of your business. I'm not asking about your stuff. Now, come on. But if Jesus said we can walk free, then we can walk free. So let's persevere. Let's press in. Now this is a good time to leave the service, because I'm telling you right now, at the end of this service, you're going to be more accountable than when you came. The way he has me teach is so simple, the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Okay, so even if I can, trust me, if I can understand this, you can understand this. Okay, all right. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Talking about completely. What do you mean completely? Well, I pray God your whole, now notice, spirit, number one, spirit, and soul, and, in Tulsa we say, body. Spirit, number one, spirit, number two, soul, number three, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that our spirit, because you come to the 8:30 class and you've been listening to all these messages, you know from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23, and 24, that when you were born again, there was a new creature created on the inside of you. That is a spirit being that's made in the image of God. And Ephesians tells you that it is created from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness. So I don't have a whole lot of problem understanding that my spirit can be preserved blameless. I can understand that part. We've been studying about the soul, the renewing of the mind, which is more than just knowledge. So that the mind can be renewed in knowledge, but it's more than just knowledge. As I'm understanding more and more, the renewing of the mind, a big part of that renewal process is where the mind has to come to the place of meekness, which means it steps down off the throne of your life. And it bows to that new man that God created on the inside of you. The mind has to come to the place of realizing it is not Lord anymore. It is a tool. Now the mind can be renewed, so I have hope, you know, that my spirit. Okay, I don't have a whole lot of trouble understanding that that could be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord. I can see where my soul, as that process is of renewing, goes along, you know, more and more. I see, I would like even for my thoughts one day to be pure. Nathan talked about that one day, that he went through a long period of pornography. I'm sure glad it was him and not me. But he's a lot younger than me, so it's easier to believe with him. So anyway. But he says he went through a washing, a time of renewal, to where even his soul, one day he woke up. How did he say that? Purity came again, or his soul? He didn't have those thoughts continually anymore. A real washing. The Bible talks about the washing that comes by the word, see. Well, that wouldn't that be, boy, and if you stay there, and you know, then your soul would be preserved blameless. Okay, hallelujah. But see, this third one, look what he says. He says, I pray God, not only your spirit be preserved blameless, not only your soul be preserved blameless. But does it say it in your body, in your Bible too? That your body The thing that God, you heard me say it before, it's like God looked at our spirit and said, I can give them a new spirit. He looked at our soul and says, I can give them the ability to renew their mind. But he looked at our body, and it was so corrupted. It's like he went, even I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead. And they got to keep it on the cross till I give them a new one. See? But you know, it says right here that your body can be preserved blameless. Now, fitting that in with the rest of the New Testament, that tells me it has to stay on the cross all the time. Because that's the only way that rascal is going to be preserved blameless. The body, given what it, if it's allowed to have its way, it's not going to be blameless. Amen? All right. All right, so now, with that thought in mind, I go to Hebrews 4 just for a refresher. We're not going to dwell here today because we've got too much ground to cover. Well, what we've really been studying for the most part up until now is discerning the difference between spirit and soul. And sometimes it's very difficult. I didn't bring up the three chairs today. I've done that so many times, I think you can see them now without me having to physically bring them up. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Normally, I set the spirit chair right there, and I'll bring one of these throne chairs up, and I'll line it up with the spirit man, because really, that spirit is created in the image of Christ. It is Christ in you. And when that spirit is created on the... Oh, I got to read the verse. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, means alive, powerful. Boy, it is that. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Sometimes it's hard to tell. We've been teaching about that. Am I operating out of my spirit? Am I operating out of my soul? Recently, he took me to the very example. We looked at the example that the writer of Hebrews uses, which was when the Hebrew spies went in and spied out the land and they come back. Two of the 12 had a good report. That's a type of the spirit. The spirit part of you is the part that believes God, regardless of what it sees. But the soul, which is the way most people go, it is designed to be moved by what it sees. And it came back with, observed the same facts and says, we're not able to take the land. The spirit man says, we are able to take the land. Why? Because God is with us. See, your spirit is in contact with God. But without this word of God, sometimes it's very hard. But it says, the word of God is able to divide, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You can find out how am I really operating? Am I functioning by my spirit, man? I want to walk in the spirit. Y'all know there's a good book out? It's called The Walk of the Spirit. Not the walk of the mind. Not the walk of the renewed mind, even. It's the walk of the spirit. That's that new man on the inside of us. Boy, if that rascal ever gets loose, not only is your body in trouble, in a good way, what I mean is it's not going to get its way anymore. But the devil's in trouble. You know, okay, that's another lesson. So it's dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. It'll let you know. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man can come up with so many good ideas that really are harmful ideas. Good is not okay. I want God ideas. I want thoughts that come from the mind of Christ by way of the Holy Spirit, to my spirit, and then pass to my mind. I'll just tell you plain, I don't trust Gary's thoughts anymore. My thoughts have made lots of messes for Gary and other people. Y'all pray for Sue. She has to live through my messes, you know. She's a good wife, you know. I trust his thoughts. I trust him a lot more than I used to. I didn't trust his thoughts. See, I thought my thoughts were the right ones. What do you mean go full time without any... Full time into what? Didn't have anything. No church was offering. There was no positions. Nobody was offering a pastorate. Nobody was offering a salary. And he wants me to go full time. That sounded like a crazy thought. My soul thought that thought was nuts. And I didn't obey it either for a long time. That's what I mean, though. Over a course of time, your soul has to come to the place of meekness. It has to step down off the throne. It is not authorized to make those kind of decisions. And I made a big mess and nearly got myself killed. See? Okay, we got to move on. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. Jesus is plainly talking about sin. The Pharisees did not know that he was talking about setting them free from sin. He thought that he was talking about a kingdom. Because in the Jewish mind, when the Messiah came, he was going to throw off the oppressor, which at this time was Rome, and set up a literal physical kingdom of God on earth. How many of you knows that is coming? That is coming, but not at his first coming. He came to set man free, but free from sin. And boy, he doesn't stutter about it here. See? So let's look at it in John 8. He says, verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Now I'm going to pause right there and I'm going to say again, he is talking about disciples here. He is not talking about making heaven. See, where Gary tends to get mixed up here, I get so, because I'm so interested in discipleship, that sometimes I forget about basic salvation. We don't want to come to the place where we exclude the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross gave the most minimal acknowledgement that you can give. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's about as, there was no, "I give my life to you." There was no, "I surrender to you." There was nothing. I didn't even hear him apologize for what he'd done. All he said was, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," which means he believed what he heard. He believed, that's the gospel that he heard. And he believed it. And Jesus said, some kind of gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven. Bam! Salvation. "This very day you'll be with me in paradise." Glory to God. We don't want to exclude that. See, we're not talking about that. We're talking about discipleship. We're talking, you're not here after the time change on a Sunday morning because you're barely wanting to sneak into heaven and bring all the sin with you that you can. You're wanting to be his disciple. Like I'm wanting to be his disciple. I want to walk freer and higher and more anointed than I've ever been before. See? So he says, "Well, you want to be my disciple then?" "Well, yes, I do." "Then you continue in my word." You got to continue in it. So he says, "And if you do," verse 32, here's that famous verse, "you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When you know it, the truth itself makes you free. They answered him. And see, you can tell here, they're thinking about a natural kingdom. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man." Well, he's not talking about being in bondage to a man here. Although when I read that, I think the Persians, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know what they're thinking, but anyway. Even in the natural, it's not like they... Okay, that's another lesson. "How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" See, they're thinking in bondage to a man, though. Boy, he's not talking about that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And in the Greek, that word servant is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, or D-O-L-O-U-S. Anyway, it's doulos. And it can be translated servant, but the most common usage is slave. You are a slave to it. If I had the three chairs up here, you remember at the fall of man, originally man was made in the image of God. Three times in two consecutive verses in Genesis, he said man was made in the image of God. In the image of God made he man. I mean, three times in two verses, he repeats himself, which is very unusual for God. He's trying to get us to understand that man was originally made in the likeness of God. But when man fell, so I had the spirit chair right there lined up with Jesus. But when man fell, his spirit fell. The whole man fell. His spirit aligned with his flesh. And that's what made him a slave. And the only thing left was the mind of man. And that's the guy in Romans 7. He says, I would have not known it's wrong to covet. Except your law said, don't covet. He says, with my mind, I agree that your law is good. Not with his spirit. With my mind, I agree. I was preaching at one time, and my friend in South Carolina said, my God, Brother Gary, you mean under the old covenant, the mind of man was the best part of man? That's the only thing God had to work with. See, and this is why Dave so eloquently teaches on the born-again trail. It's not the Holy Spirit that sets you free from sin. They had access to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit could set you free from sin, he would have set the Old Testament saint free from sin. Now, this is a preview of where we're going in today's lesson. What is it that makes you free? It's that new nature. It's through the Spirit that you mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. That Spirit, in King James, it's capital S in Romans 8. That needs to be a little S. It's talking about the new nature. It's not the Holy Spirit. So he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now go to James just for a minute. And now we're going to get into really the meat of what he wants to talk about today. Here is one, and again, I'm going to use myself as the poster boy for this. Because I'll use smoking. It's something very obvious. It's easy. It's not a thing you can hide. You can try. Sue used to Febreze me. We couldn't even make it through a service. You know, we'd sneak out after about every 20 minutes and walk down the hill down here. There used to be some trees closer. They're gone now. But we'd go down behind the trees and we'd smoke because we just, we couldn't stand it. On the way back, she carried a big thing of, back then it wasn't a spray can, it was a pump bottle, you know. And she'd have it in her purse. Man, here we come back. And she's going, pachoo, 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 you know. Man, my ear would be dripping Febreze. I mean, pachoo. And I'm going, honey, they can still smell it. I don't care. Pachoo, 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 you know. And trying to hide it. And people knew. I mean, you know, you can't, your clothes are saturated with it and everything. I mean, so I'm the poster boy for this, okay? But I remember thinking at the time, because it was so, I was such a slave to it. Yet I loved Jesus. Don't tell me I didn't. Now I did. Man, our lives had radically changed. I mean, our motivations had changed. We weren't in the bars anymore. I wasn't even working for money anymore. Not really. And just everything. We were doing whatever, but I couldn't seem to get, I felt like that doulos. A slave. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to get into prayer lines. Well, I did and I didn't. In the early days, I wanted to get in every line because maybe God would say something through Pastor Dave. I didn't trust me to hear God at all. But maybe I trusted Dave, you know. Maybe Dave could hear something. But then right on the other hand, I loved it when Alan finally told the truth. Alan says, I was afraid to get in those lines. Why? I was afraid I'd start manifesting. Me too. I thought, oh my God, I'll get in front of that Dave and suddenly I'd be flopping on the floor like a chicken, you know. How many devils will be coming out? Probably nicotine devil will be number one. I used to think maybe it's a devil. Maybe I'm possessed. The devil made me do it. That's it. Well, see, you know, there's that's still taught in the church. Just recently. I mean, and they're well-meaning people that love God. But just recently I was told, if you're dealing with lust at all, that's always a devil. Well, we'll see. You know, let's see what the scripture says about that. Okay? But I was afraid. I really was. But anyway, I kept getting in the line anyway. What's funny, time out. What's funny, God would talk to me when he would speak to me through Dave. You would think I was God's favorite. I didn't understand, because I knew, I had Febreze dripping out my ear. How could I? I knew I just got back from a trip down there. What do you mean I'm your favorite? You know, I mean, he would say great things. Oh, you know, I love thee. I shall use thee. Whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, didn't he see where I just was? Down there smoking? But see, God wasn't talking to my flesh. He's not the father of my flesh. He wasn't talking to my soul. He was talking to his child. the spirit man that he put on the inside of me, the one that's birthed of him. And he's encouraging me to rise up and be the man of God that I really am. Put my foot on the neck of the flesh and keep it there. But anyway, I'm getting ahead again. Did you find James? James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. How many of you feel blessed when you're enduring temptation? Not really. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. In other words, well, God's putting me through this. No, not when it comes to evil. Now, he may give you tests, all right, but he doesn't test you to do evil. I've heard Christians say, God says, you know, this guy had a trouble with alcoholism his whole life, and then he's been free for a while. I've had them tell me to my face, well, God's telling me that my ministry is in a bar. Yeah, he's calling me to go to the bar and witness, you know, because, you know, that's where I said, no, that's the devil bringing you right back into the same thing your flesh had trouble with before. And you better be careful. That's a slippery slope. I'm not saying it could never happen. I will tell you this. I've never seen it work. Not ever after 30-some-odd years. Every time I've ever seen that, somebody believe that and go back into that thing, they wind up slipping right back into the thing that got them before. But I know there's an exception, but that's just what I've seen. So, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Well, God's telling me. I've had that thought come to me more than once. And I told you, when he delivered me from alcohol, and trust me, I had alcohol. I had it for like 10 years. I mean, I hardly had a sober day in 10 years. And in the 4th of July, 1980, as my last drink right there. I never had another one. But you know, over these years, it's been a few times I've heard a thought saying, well, the reason that you haven't had a drink is you're afraid to have a drink. You need to prove to God that you're free. You need to have a big old shot of bourbon. Now, do you think that's God? No, that's not God. That's my flesh or the devil or something trying to entice me back into that which he made me free from. See? Let's get it straight. That's not God tempting you to drink, cuss, have adultery, watch porno. It's not God. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with what? Now see, God tested Abraham. You can go back, and the King James uses the word tempt, I think. Tempted him. But he's not tempting him with evil. He was tempting him to see if he would trust God. Well, God's always asking me to do things that will find out if I'm going to trust him or not. But it's not God going to tell you to go commit adultery. God's not going to tell you to go smoke a joint. Well, I know people that think he does. Wasn't God telling me to go down there and smoke that nicotine? See? Well, it wasn't no devil either. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Well, Gary, are you saying that? No, I'm just telling you what James says. Because looky here. Looky here. You like that? Looky right here. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Well, why? How are we tempted? It's the devil. It's the devil, right, Brother Gary? It's the devil made me do it. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away by a demon. Oh, I'm sorry. Every man is tempted when the demon within him... No? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. What? What? And enticed. I don't want to run away from verse 14 too quick, because that's really the lesson right there. We're going to find it with two or three other witnesses here in the next 30 minutes. See, part of knowing the truth, if you think a devil has power over you, you don't know the truth yet. You don't know the truth. Time and again, it's not only in Scripture, but in Dave's series, The Born Again Trail, other series that he has, The Prison Doors Are Open, What Are You Doing In There? Something like that. Over and over and over, he says, there is no demon, no horde of demons, no class of demon can make a Christian do anything. When Jesus says, I give you power to tread on all the power of the enemy, on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you, obviously he's not talking about persecution and things that come through men. He's talking about the devil can't make you do anything. And when he said that, it's when the 70 had returned and they were going, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Guess what? They still are. You are not subject to them. They are subject to you. That's the truth that will set you free. But as long as you think it's a devil, you're deceived. You don't know the truth yet. That's why I like how Alan puts it too. He says, you know, we'll get into devils. I mean, they can do, you know, they have operations. But the truth of it is, for the born-again, spirit-filled Christian, they can't make you do anything. They can't make you sin. They can't make you do anything. Boy, that's a hard truth. And that's why Alan says, we can cast out devils, but we can't cast out flesh. You have to put your flesh on the cross, and nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. You got to man up, woman. You got to woman up, man. You're drawn away of your own lust. Something in you still wants it. Well, that's that flesh. And remember, flesh is not just the physical body. It is that. It is that. But it's any part of the soul that has not yet been renewed to the mind of Christ. So, and there's strongholds. Hey, Dave's message is all about dealing with strongholds, you know. There's strongholds. We're not saying there's not, but it's not a demon. It's some kind of wrong thinking. Usually empowered by an emotion. That's what a stronghold is. But that's not a devil. And that can be torn down. Paul wrote in the Corinthians, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You could tear it down. That's why he gave you the spirit of truth. See, eventually when I had to deal with the flesh, he never did. Never did all those times. In my case, I just believed what Pastor Dave says. I felt like a sheep-eating dog most of those times that I was driving the trucks, you know, gone a lot. But whenever we'd come, and I'd feel like part of me didn't even want to come. Part of me really wanted to come. But I felt like a sheep-eating dog, you know. Come in, Febreze dripping out my ear, clothes smelling like nicotine. Knew I should be free. David, bless his heart, he'd kill me one week and save me the next, you know. You're going to let... Now, Angie told me not to say a two-inch weed anymore because people think I'm talking about marijuana. No, it was just plain old cigarettes. Dave would say, are you going to let a little two-inch cigarette? Are you going to let that dominate your life? Are you going to let it control you? And everybody else was going, no. Gary's over there sheepishly going, maybe. And he'd preach the same things I'm preaching today, you know. No, the devil's not making you do that. You have dominion. And I go, I do. And I tried to make it to the smoking tower. There's a water tower here about a mile away from the church. And there's a hill there. It's not because there's a tower. It's because there's a hill there. I'd go over the hill. I'm hoping nobody behind me, I could light up again. You know? Man, those were hard years. And I remember lots of times thinking, maybe it's a devil. Maybe I really do have a demon or something. See, because I didn't know the truth. Now, how it finally happened for me, y'all know, when I say I kept believing Dave, because the next week he'd save me. It's that God will walk through hell with you, with your strongholds. As long as you're not, what, how do you say it? Saying it's okay when it's not okay. As long as you're not saying it's not sin when it is sin. And as long as you keep doing those things that will one day spell out your freedom. Well, boy, I did that. I'd pray till my lips would roll off on the floor. I'd meditate the word. I'd fast a little bit here and there. I'd like to tell you I fasted a lot, but I didn't. Anyway, but I kept on. And finally what it was with me. The Lord appeared to me. He did. But you know, the end result of that is I had to deal with my flesh. It was not a demon. He didn't say one word. What he said to me is said, unless you deal with this. There's some that haven't heard it, so I'm okay, saying rewind. So let me, I had a vision. I know right where I was in White Plains, New York. It was a nice room that somebody had got for us. I could not have afforded it on my own. This motel room had two rooms. It had a bedroom with a door and had a little living area with a kitchenette. And it was 3 a.m. and I couldn't sleep, which is unusual for me. Sue was asleep. I closed the bedroom door and I'm in that living room by myself, just praying in the spirit. And the Lord just walked in the room. I still can't tell you what he looked like. Don't ask me what he looked like, but it was him. And he said to me, he said, you know you're doing good work for... And we, by the way, we were there teaching at a church. We were doing ministry. And I'm still bound by cigarettes. I didn't flaunt it. You know, I didn't flaunt it. But still. And the preacher knew. I always told him before we went. And a lot of them wouldn't let me come. And I understand that. But anyway, the Lord said to me, you know you're doing good work for me and you're going to have a reward when you come to heaven. He says, but I need to let you know that there's places I want to send you. Where I can't send you unless you, here's how he said it, unless you deal with this in the flesh. He said, I can't send you because if you don't deal with this, they will not listen to a single word you have to say. He says, now it's really up to you. He says, you can do, I'm not going to force you to do anything. I don't know if he actually said that, but that was the essence of it. But he says, when you get here, now you're going to come to heaven, you're going to have a good reward. But if you do not deal with this in the flesh, then I'm going to have to draw back a curtain. And I'm going to have to show you what it was my plan for you to do that you never did do because I couldn't send you because you would not deal with this. I never had another cigarette from that day till now. That was a long time ago. But the withdrawals were staggering. I'd had those withdrawals before when I tried to quit, and they'd always force me back into the habit. But this time, every time the withdrawals would come, I would see that vision again of him drawing back that curtain. And the emotion that came with that was stronger than the withdrawals. But boy, that does not mean I did not have to deal with the flesh. It was not a devil. It was the lust of the flesh the whole time. My flesh liked, whatever you call it, the high, the buzz, the peace, whatever it is that comes with nicotine. My flesh lusted after it because I had trained it to lust after it. I remember the first time that I ever smoked, I was 14. I stole 2 L&M cigarettes out of my mother's purse. If you're old enough to remember L&M's. And we literally had a barn. I snuck up behind the barn. And I'll never forget my first puff. My body thought I was crazy. I coughed. I wheezed. My eyes burned. My body was saying, don't do this. My body was certainly not addicted at that point. But I was determined. Because where I went to school, everybody smoked. And if you wanted to be accepted, you smoke too. Plus, both my parents at that time smoked. They both quit later on, by the way. I'm not blaming anybody. Just trying to tell it. The point is, I had to train my body. But I'm telling you, it didn't take very long for my body to get trained. And it became addicted. Now it had a real lust. And from age 14 for 42 years, I gave it what it wanted, that nicotine. But I can tell you, for those of you that are still struggling with it, there is freedom on the other side. you can retrain that body again where you never, ever, ever, and I mean not ever, and that means not at any time, and that means never, ever even think of it again. Hallelujah. There is such a thing. I've lived it myself. Okay. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, I'm using cigarettes because it's an easy one, and it teaches real well, and you can see that. Okay? This is the same. It wouldn't matter if it's adultery, fornication, pornography, gossip, slander, envy, love. In a minute, we're going to go to Galatians where it lists. I mean, it takes verses to list all of these lusts of the flesh. And that's not even exhaustive. It's not complete. There's more. But everything, all of those, are not caused, not one of them is caused by a demon. Look at it again in your Bible. It's the truth that makes you free. When every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Boy, this next verse is so enlightening. Then when lust hath conceived. Well, that's a word. Let's read the whole verse and then come back to it. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, I looked up that word conceived, and it means exactly what you think it means. Now, we know in the natural, it is not possible for a woman to conceive. She can have perfectly good eggs. It is not possible to conceive without intimate relations with another. Lust is like those eggs. They're there. They're dormant in the flesh, if you'll allow me. Lust is there. But it will not conceive without intimate relation with your soul. You're going to have to. People say, I don't know how it happened. I just walking along, I committed adultery. You liar. No, you conceived adultery. Something, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You saw something, you liked it. You started having relations with it mentally. And finally, same way that a baby is conceived, lust conceived. And when lust conceives, it doesn't bring forth a baby. It brings forth, what does it say? Sin. Sin is birthed, and not by accident. How many babies you know are conceived by accident? Well, now you be careful how you think there. What I mean is, it's not possible for the egg alone to conceive, and it's not possible for lust alone to conceive. It has to have intimate relations. Well, who it's having relations with is not your spirit. It's having relations with your soul. I'm thinking of Job right now. Remember Job? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why? He shut down the eye gate so as not to feed lust that was in his flesh. Quiet in this church now. Go to Galatians 5. Let's get another witness. Galatians 5 actually uses... Did you know Paul stole from Dave's book? Yeah. I saw Dave's book. It says walk in the Spirit. But look at this. Look at Galatians 5:16. Paul says, walk in the Spirit. See? Oh, maybe it's the other way around. Yeah, Dave says all the time, says, Gary, don't worry about it. I said, Dave, I used one of your things again. He said, don't worry about it. We're all plagiarizing Paul anyway. And I think Paul's okay with that. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And that should be little s. He is not in any wise talking about walking in the Holy Ghost here. He's talking about walking by the power of the new nature. Walk in that new nature, and you will not fulfill what that demon told you to do. What? Is that what your Bible says? You shall not fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh. There it is again. James and Paul agree. The key is not walking by the power of the mind. See, the poor guy in Romans 7, all he had was his mind agreed with the written law of God. He did not have a new nature. Yeah, I wouldn't even have known it's wrong to covet. Except your law said, don't do it. With my mind, I agree that your law is righteous and holy and good. But he couldn't find the power within. Why? Because his spirit and his flesh were both dead. And they agreed with each other. It was two against one. He found no supernatural power. He just mental power, trying to do what's right. And we've all done that. You know, Dave has all those examples. You know, the guy who was going to love his wife more. You know, I make a mental decision. I'm going to love my wife. Starts making her breakfast in bed, her favorite breakfast. Pancakes with syrup and eggs and a single rose. And he takes it up to her. And at first, it's wonderful. I love you. I love you too. That's wonderful. Thank you. I love you. But after about 4 days, takes that up there. She says, don't we have anything but pancakes in this house? And the whole deal's on again. See? But Dave says, it's not hard to love when that's what you are. It's not hard to walk free from sin when you realize who you are either. And that's where he's bringing us, see. As long as we're blaming it on anything other than the truth, if we think it's a devil, we're not sure if we're free. If you think it's that, but if you know for sure it's just your stinking flesh, at least you're further along than you were before. It's flesh. It likes it. It wants it. Yes, sir. I don't have that one on here, but James, if we continued back over there, don't turn back over there because I'd have to find it with you. James says, did you not know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? The spirit within us, it lusts to envy. That's King James for it's very jealous. That spirit, it wants to have the same relationship with you that you currently have with the world. See? And the key there, he's saying, cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's the key was not cast the demon out of you. The key was stop being friends with the world. Shut down the eye gate. Whatever it is that's feeding that lust of the flesh, shut it down. Shut down the ear gate. What are you listening to? What are you seeing? Quit being friends with the world. That's the counsel. Not cast it, not get in a line and manifest some devil, which is not even a devil anyway. It's something, you know, anyway. So let's back it up again. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the lust of what? The lust of a demon? Let's call it what it is. It's the lust of the flesh. Now notice, it is the flesh lusting against the Spirit. And every time you see the word Spirit here, it should be little s. It's talking about the new nature. Trust me. If there's ever a war between your puny flesh and God the Holy Spirit, that will be the shortest war on record. You're dust, okay? No, he's talking about that war between the flesh and the new nature. See, and your soul is the one in between. Remember that day that I kind of moved the soul? You know, first he was all buddy-buddy with the flesh. Remember when I got born again? And that within the first week, there's a preacher on the inside of me. I mean, I wasn't going to church hearing it. I was hearing it from the inside. Get the pornography out of the house. And I'm going, who said that? Well, that's that new nature on the inside of me. And it's preaching to me. My soul heard it too. And who did my soul align with? I buddied right over with the flesh. You've got to be crazy. Do you know how much money I've got invested in that? What's wrong with you? I'm not going to get rid of that. Where was my soul? It's all aligned over here with the flesh. This is that renewal process. So you get it renewed and it starts thinking like God, gets over on the correct side. Get over on this side. Your soul starts aligning over here with your spirit. It goes to the flesh. We're getting rid of that. And the flesh still won't like it. Get on the cross. No. Get on the cross. No. I'm a devil. No, you're not. You're the flesh. Go get on the cross. You'll have to get Dave to cast me out. No, I won't. Can't cast out flesh. I know the truth now. Get on the cross. Ow! Get on the cross, I said. I'll make your life miserable. Get on the cross. Not for long, you won't. I'm going to retrain you. But if you don't know that, like I didn't know that, then you're not really free. It's the truth that makes you free. Okay, verse 17 again. For the flesh, it lusts against your new nature. This is the war, people. It's not demons. The demons have no power over you. Listen to the born-again trail again. Time and again, time and again, the devil cannot make you do anything. If you're sinning, it's because you want to. Or let's say it another way, because you're allowing it. Let's say it another way, you don't know the truth yet, but you came to the 8:30. You made the mistake of setting your clock ahead 1 hour. You came and heard the truth. But the good news is, your testimony is, it set me free. Now I know who my enemy is. He has already set me free from the power of devils. See, does this not match perfectly with the vision God gave Dave in the very beginning about revival? Remember, he saw the whole earth. There was this dark band, this dark cloud all around the whole earth. Every now and then somebody would get their hand up through that cloud and it would begin to glow. And when they came back and touched people, they'd get healed. Somebody get their head up through there. And when they came back, they would teach the very mind of Christ. Every once in a while, a whole person would make it through there. They'd come back all glowing. And that would be your revivalists, that we only have a handful every century, you know. Dave's looking at that vision. He's going, that dark band, that's the devil. Remember what God said? That's not the devil. That's your flesh. From the very beginning, God was showing him the truth in vision form. Our enemy, the one we're wrestling with. Now, what about Ephesians 6, Brother Gary? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. Well, I recommend you assimilate Ephesians 6 and read it. I mean, Ephesians, and read it about 50 times. And you're going to find out chapters 2, 3, and 4 talk about your freedom completely over sin. Chapters 5 and 6 talk about your ministry to the world. And when he sends you to Iran to preach the gospel, you will find out you are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. That's talking, yes, we are. And there will be persecution. That's a whole different thing than being free from sin. Because Ephesians 2, 3, and 4, it says things like, no, you put off the old man. Now I'm going to get in the line and have Dave cast a devil out. That's not what it says. You put off the old man. It just says put away lying. I can't. Yeah, you can. You're a new creature. Yeah, you can. No, I can't. Yeah, you can. You got to know the truth. I can't. You can. It doesn't feel like it. It's got nothing to do with the truth. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, little s, if you learn how to follow that new nature, you're not under the law. Now notice, the works of the flesh are manifest. We're just going to talk about the first two, which are these. We could talk about all of them, but let's just talk about adultery and fornication. Is that not the manifestation of lust? I mean, that's the sin, that's the baby. Adultery and fornication are the sins that are conceived with sexual lust. Isn't that right? It's not a demon. It's not a demon. Over and over again, we could go through here. Not in the born-again Christian, it's not. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, if you spend all of your time with the eye gate and the ear gate being friends with the world, your soul can so align with your flesh that it may seem that way. And I'm not saying that demons aren't involved in tempting you. They are. See, that's the whole thing going back to Eve. Do you know Eve had a new nature, what we call the new nature, when she was tempted by the devil? She hadn't fallen yet. That's how the enemy, through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. But that's why James over there says, your problem is not the devil. Your problem is you are a friend with the world. Close off the eye gate. Quit looking at that stuff. Close off the ear gate. What are you listening to? Start closing it off. Another way, that's just another nice way of saying, put the flesh on the cross. Adultery, fornication. Verse 19. Now the works of the devil. Now the works of the demon inside. The works of what? Works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Well, let's just read them. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. That is I love the King James, but that one there is horrible. The Greek word there is pharmakia. Pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. It's plainly talking about drug addiction there. Drug abuse. Idolatry. Drug abuse. You could put nicotine in there. That's a drug too. Okay? Hatred. You don't hate with your elbow, do you? You see what I mean about the works of the flesh is not just the physical body? No. You hate with part of the soul. That's the emotions, the strongholds there. Variants, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. There's another one. Drunkenness. I have some experience with that. I would have loved to have blamed it on the devil. Thank God I know the truth. It's my flesh. Thank God it's been retrained. It doesn't even want it anymore. Although I will tell you, I have passed up a couple of marvelous opportunities. I got drunk so often to a song by the Doobie Brothers. How many are old enough to remember the Doobie Brothers? Boy, we've got to get some young people in this church. They had a song called Long Train Running. I was drunk to that song so many times that even after I quit drinking, 5 years later, walking through a mall, and they had that song playing, and I could taste bourbon and Coke in my mouth. Hadn't had a drink in 5 years. Talk about conditioning. But by the way, I did not run and get a bourbon and Coke. See? Hallelujah, you're free. Okay, anyway. But the fruit of the Spirit is... Oh, okay. Now we'll finish verse 21, see? Envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's stop for a moment, because right there, I've had a problem right there with the thief on the cross. He made it. He never had time to clean up his life at all. And I'm going, well, Lord, here, this is pretty harsh. You're saying people that, let's take an easy one. I mean, what we would call a lesser sin. Murder is pretty bad. It's got murder. Envy, we don't think that as being very bad, you know. Envy, see envyings? You see that? Didn't I see it? Yeah, envyings. And the very next one is murders. He puts them on the same line. I'm going, you mean somebody who envies, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? I don't understand that. The thief on the cross, he might have been the most envious person that around. The only thing I've heard back from the Lord is, well, he never had a chance. He never had a chance. He would have become my disciple had he been given the chance. This is where you have to let the Lord be the judge and not you. I'm real glad I'm not the judge. Amen. All I know is for me, I want to be his disciple. I want to be more free the next time you see me. I want to be more anointed the next time you see me. I want to be more his servant and less my serving myself the next time you see me. Okay, Romans 6, and we'll close. Really, I'm just going to introduce Romans 6. Because of that word that Jesus used back there, where he said, he that commits sin is the slave of sin, doulos. Remember that? Gosh, this whole chapter just illustrates everything here that we've been saying. Look at verse 14. Sin, for sin shall not have dominion over you. The devil can't make you do anything. The truth of the matter is your flesh can't make you do anything. It disguises itself really well, like it's not the enemy. It is the enemy. That band that's keeping us from revival is exactly how God showed it to Dave in the beginning. It is our flesh. Sin shall not have dominion under you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Well, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now, everywhere here that it says servant, it's the same word, doulos. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slave you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you write in your Bible, you could write out beside that, it is your choice. It is your choice. You're going to yield to one or the other. You're going to yield to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin. Notice the past tense, were. You were. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. You could say it this way, now you know the truth which has set you free. That form of doctrine. Being then made, what? Free from sin. How did Jesus say you become free from sin? You shall know the truth. Here he says, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Doctrine means truth. You know the truth and you heard it and you obeyed it. And you said no to the flesh. And through that process, verse 18, being then made free from sin, how? I know the truth now. You became the servant, I like it better, the slave, but you're a bond slave, see, by your own free will choice. You became the servant of righteousness. I like this image. Picture in your mind the three chairs. I got to close with this. Spirit, soul, body. When you first get saved, your soul is more aligned with your flesh than it is with this new man on the inside. But as your mind becomes renewed and you know the truth, more and more your soul aligns with this new man. When it says, when you become free from sin, you can not only become free, you can become a slave of righteousness. Can you picture this? Can you picture your flesh walking over to the spirit and the soul aligned here and the flesh bowing? And saying, I have become a slave of righteousness. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's His word. Isn't His word great? You know the truth. Hallelujah.